Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm here.
You are here. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking about a problem that occurs every summer to thousands of people just in the United States alone.
Yes, we are. Today, we are talking about heat injuries. According to the Center for Disease Control, there are five main heat-related injuries. You've got heat rash, sunburn, heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and finally, you have heat stroke.
Correct. Actually, heat rash and heat cramps are considered the least serious of these five heat-related injuries. Heat rash typically is described as like a mild skin irritation or small blisters of trapped sweat, and they can be incredibly itchy.
Yeah, and I guess that's why sometimes it's referred to as prickly heat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And actually, there are many different types of heat rash. Based on how deep into the skin layers the sweat is pooling and whether or not pus is also present.
Gross. That sounds awful. Sweat pooling.
Pools of sweat under the skin. But luckily, it generally is not a life-threatening condition. And actually, to prevent heat rash, the Mayo Clinic recommends that you should avoid overdressing. When the heat rises, try to wear soft, lightweight, moisture-wicking clothing. Avoid tight-fitting clothing that can actually irritate the skin and trap moisture. And when it's hot, try to stay cool. I know that sounds, you know, obvious, but whenever possible, stay in the shade, in an air-conditioned building, or use a fan to circulate the air. And also in hot weather, sleep in a cool, well-ventilated area. A lot of infants and toddlers often get heat rash, so they recommend having, you know, a fan in their room when they're sleeping. You can also develop heat rash in the winter. And this is if you overdress and have non-moisture wicking layers next to your skin through vigorous exercise or if you apply a pore-blocking ointment, like a petroleum-based ointment to your skin, or with infants and toddlers, again, if they have a fever.
Okay. And what do you do if you get a heat rash?
Well, according to the Mayo Clinic, if someone develops a heat rash, they should obviously take steps to cool the skin using non-drying soap. They should take cool showers or baths, and if possible, air dry afterward, not using a towel. Apply cool compresses as needed. If the heat rash gets worse and it doesn't seem to be going away or it's starting to show signs of infection, then yeah, you need to call a healthcare professional.
Okay, and what about heat cramps?
Well, heat cramps usually develop in the muscles, and the cramps are caused by a loss of body salt and fluid through, and this might be through, you know, like heavy sweating or with strenuous activity. And when a muscle has a low salt or other, you know, like or magnesium or other different ions, if those levels fall, then it begins to cramp. Some muscles frequently affected by heat cramps include those of your calves, your arms, your abdominal wall, and your back. And although heat cramps may involve any skeletal muscle group that you know, involved in exercise.
So what should somebody do if they're experiencing heat cramps?
Well, Ron, I'm glad you asked. The Mayo Clinic recommends four basic steps to relieve heat cramps. Rest briefly and cool down. That's number one. Drink clear juice or an electrolyte-containing sport drink, because that's got the ions that you need, right?
Yeah.
Practice gentle range of motion stretching and gentle massage of the affected muscle group. And don't resume strenuous activity for several hours or longer after the heat cramps go away.
That's right. And call your doctor if the heat cramps don't go away in like an hour or so.
Well, this actually sounds like it's another rather mild condition. Maybe we should skip sunburn right now because that deserves a whole separate episode just for itself.
Yeah,
sounds good.
What about heat exhaustion?
Heat exhaustion. Well,
heat exhaustion.
I have a little experience with that one.
Yes, she does. I think my old medical unit with the Illinois Army National Guard treated you for heat exhaustion every year at annual training.
Not every year, maybe, I don't think. I'm sure that I must have made it through 1 year without needing a medic.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening with you, Lita?
Well, I think it really started when I broke my wrist 1 year. That's how it all started. We arrived with my unit at Fort McCoy, and I broke my right wrist, and I'm right-handed. And during annual training, you wear a uniform with a button-up fly. That's your uniform, even if you're not at annual training. But anyway, your fly is button-up. And then you wear equipment like a web belt, and it's got a canteen on the belt, and it snaps over your shirt and pants. Not to mention, you're in the great outdoors, so there's no plumbing, and you're in the middle of the woods. So every time I had to go to the bathroom, I had to unsnap a large belt buckle one-handed, unbutton my pants one-handed, balance over a hole in the ground, and you guessed it, one-handed. I just found it too difficult to unsnap my web belt and unbutton my BDUs to use the bathroom, so my solution was to drink less water, and it was 100 degrees outside.
Did it ever occur to you that that may not have been the best solution?
Yeah.
So what happened?
I remember saying something like, I'm not feeling too good, and then I passed out. I guess they called the medics, because the next thing I knew, it felt like somebody was stabbing me in my arm with a large skewer. The IV they were trying to start, it hurt like a son of a...
Beep.
And I remember waking up swearing, worse than the son of a something, and saying, can you get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing? And a couple of expletives.
Expletives, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as I opened my eyes and looked at the rank of the person doing the IV, I saw it was a doctor with a bird on her collar. So that meant it was a colonel. So I quickly threw in a ma'am after my profanity.
That was the colonel who wrote a letter of recommendation for me to get into college, I believe. I kind of shocked that you swore at her.
Well, it hurt.
Okay.
Oh, boy, Lita. I guess they were just having trouble starting the IV because you were so badly dehydrated?
That might be true, yes.
Okay. According to John Hopkins Medicine, your doctor or your child doctor may prescribe IVs, which is intravenous rehydration, to treat moderate to severe cases of dehydration. And during IV rehydration, fluids are injected through an IV line. Different fluids may be used depending on the situation. Usually, though, they will consist of water with a little bit of salt or even sugar added. IV rehydration involves a few small risks. However, the benefits certainly outweigh the risks themselves, especially since severe dehydration can be life-threatening if left untreated. So, Lita, based on your symptoms, I'm guessing you had heat stroke and not just heat exhaustion.
Yes, and that made it more likely for me to have heat injuries like heat exhaustion in the future, which may explain why I had a number of heat-related injuries during subsequent annual training sessions during the summer.
Yeah, well, Mom, since you have so much experience with this particular topic, why don't you tell us about the signs and symptoms for heat exhaustion?
Okay. Heat exhaustion and heat stroke may develop quickly or over several days. They can both cause significant distress, and muscle cramping often occurs first. Heat exhaustion can lead to muscle cramping, like I said, a rapid, weak pulse, a general sense of weakness, you know, like, oh. I'm so tired.
Right.
Nausea or vomiting, excessive sweating, that's in the beginning, cold, clammy skin, dizziness, sometimes fainting, dark colored urine, that's because you're dehydrated and, you know, is concentrated, and or headaches. Headache, I always got the headaches. Always got the headaches. Heat stroke, which is a more serious and potentially life-threatening injury, may begin with symptoms of heat exhaustion that we just talked about. And again, it's important to keep in mind that heat stroke can be life-threatening and symptoms may rapidly worsen. These symptoms may include a body temperature of 104 degrees or higher, a hot, dry skin, because by now you've already sweated out everything you had to sweat, a racing heartbeat, confusion, agitation. See, I was agitated.
Mm-hmm. You were.
Slurred speech. I did not slur my speech. I swore very distinctly. Seizures, which I did not have seizures. I just lost consciousness. Oh, loss of consciousness. And even a coma, which I did not go that far.
Well, there are two types of heat stroke out there, exertional and non-exertional.
That's right. Non-exertional heat stroke occurs in those who cannot adapt well to the increasing hot temperatures. For example, older adults, people with chronic illnesses, and infants are often affected. A person typically experiences this type of heat stroke when they're indoors without air conditioning and they may not be engaging actually in any physical activity, non-exertional. And it can take several days of high temperatures or for non-exertional heat stroke to occur. And it's common during extreme heat waves, where, on the other hand, exertional heat stroke occurs in people whose bodies can no longer adapt to rising temperatures while they're exercising or working. And this condition can develop within just a few hours. And it usually affects people who are spending time outdoors.
Like at annual training.
Spending time in closed cars puts small children and pets at a high risk of having heat stroke.
We hear about that every year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the CDC actually estimates that when the temperature outdoors is 80 degrees, the temperature inside a closed car rises to over 100 and up, you know, upward in as little as 20 minutes. And the hotter it is outside, the faster the temperature rises inside a vehicle.
The Mayo Clinic has a good list of suggestions to avoid heat exhaustion and other heat-related illnesses. When temperatures climb, remember to, one, we mentioned earlier, wear loose-fitting, lightweight clothing, because wearing excess clothing or clothing that fits tightly won't allow your body to cool properly. Two, protect against sunburn. Sunburn affects your body's ability to cool itself, so protect yourself. You may want to wear a wide-brimmed hat and sunglasses, and use a broad-spectrum sunscreen with an SPF of at least 15.
Oh, point of...
contention?
Contention.
Okay.
Did you know that they have proven that there are a lot of sunscreens out there that say they're SPF whatever, and they are not...
I did not
Maybe
know that.
Maybe that'll be something we talk about in depth for a sunburn episode.
Yes, we will. Okay. Yes.
I thought it was SPF 50 was the minimum now. You're saying 50?
We will we're going to talk about that later. During the sunburn episode.
Yeah, right. We'll have to do a special one on that.
Okay, I think one thing we can all agree upon, though, that you want to apply the sunscreen generously, meaning put it on and keep putting it on. So put
Don't
it on
skimp.
30 minutes before you go out in the sun and reapply it to yourself at least every 2 hours or more often if you're swimming or sweating. Sunscreen does degrade with time.
Oh, so maybe that's why it's not what it says, because it's sitting on a shelf.
We'll learn more during
the sunburn
episode.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about it. All right.
So the rule of thumb here, check the expiration date on the sunscreen when you buy it.
Okay.
All right, here's another thing. We also talked about this. Stay hydrated, right, Lita?
Yes.
Drink plenty of fluids, right, Lita?
Yes.
Okay, but don't drink beer.
No.
That'll alcohol do the opposite, not, exactly.
Yes, alcohol does not count.
Okay, in all seriousness, staying hydrated will help your body sweat out and maintain the normal body temperature. Make sure you take extra precautions with certain medications. Be on the lookout for heat-related problems if you take medications that can affect your body's ability to stay hydrated and dissipate the heat. And never leave anyone, any living one, or any living thing in a parked car. Don't know how much we, you know, have to stress this. This is a common cause of heat-related deaths in children, also in animals. When parked in the sun, temperatures in your car can rise 20 degrees within 10 minutes. It's not safe to leave a person in a parked car, in a warm car, in the hot weather.
In the sun, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Or even if it's hot out, if it's in the shade, it's still the temperature's going to rise. Just be smart about it. It's also a good idea to lock your car when you park it to prevent the child from getting inside. And whenever possible, take breaks. Take it easy during the hottest parts of the day. If you can't avoid strenuous activity, drink fluids and rest frequently in a cool spot. And try to schedule exercise or physical labor for cooler parts of the day, such as the early morning or later in the evening. Make sure you get acclimated to where you're at. Limit the time spent working or exercising in the heat until your body is conditioned to do it. People that aren't used to hot weather are especially susceptible to heat-related illnesses, and it can take several weeks for your body to adjust to that hot weather.
That must be why we have spring.
We don't really have spring.
Well, you're supposed to have spring.
Not here in Chicago.
Right.
Okay. That's, again, another episode. And lastly, be cautious if you're at an increased risk. And Lita, talking to you about what happened, obviously you are increased risk now.
Yeah, I don't go out in the, I don't do anything when it's hot out.
Right. So if you take medications or you have a condition that increases your risk of heat-related problems, such as a history of previous heat illness, avoid the heat and act quickly if you notice symptoms of overheating. If you participate in a strenuous sporting event or activity, make sure that there are medical services available in case of a heat emergency. And since we are now officially done with winter, I think, we should probably talk more about cars and heat injuries. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think we can stress it enough. Do not leave children or pets in the car or anyone in the car. Last year, 51 children died after being left in hot cars, and that's the highest total number of vehicular heat stroke deaths in the past 21 years, according to noheatstroke.org. And so far, there's only been one death this year.
But it's spring.
Yeah, really scary. Parents and others must remain vigilant about the ongoing danger of leaving children and pets in hot cars. In some parts of the country, this is true year-round. On days with mild temperatures, the heat in a closed vehicle can reach dangerous levels within an hour, posing a major health risk to small children or pets left inside. And this is shocking, but even when it's 61 degrees outside, the temperature inside a closed car can reach more than 105 degrees in just an hour.
Wow.
So just, you know, if you have to go somewhere and you're going to be running into a store, don't take your kids or pets. Make sure they're in a safe, cool environment. You just, yeah, never leave anyone or any living thing in a vehicle. It's extremely dangerous and potentially life-threatening for those living beings. Temperatures that might seem comfortable for adults can quickly become dangerous for children. And elderly passengers who can't care for themselves or those with cognitive issues that restrict their ability to care for themselves can be at an increased risk if they're left alone in a car, even on a mild day.
Here's another thing. Did you know that extreme high air temperatures contribute directly to deaths from cardiovascular and respiratory disease, particularly among elderly people?
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to check on this vulnerable population. In the heat wave of summer, I think it was 2003 in Europe, more than 70,000 people died due to the excessive heat.
Wow.
70,000.
70,000.
Wow, that's so sad. And wow. I know we end up with a lot of heat-related deaths here in Chicago every year.
It is important to actually stop by and visit the elderly during periods of prolonged heat. You know, you were talking about kids. Well, obviously, you're going to be with your kids. But, you know, let's say you've got elderly relatives or friends. Stop by and visit them because because they may say, oh, I'm fine. But go into their home.
Okay.
They're friends.
Okay,
it's not like
family?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. See how hot it is in there. Encourage them to spend the daytime hours resting, drinking fluids, and staying in the coolest part of their house.
Well, that's great advice. Well, I guess this about covers this hot topic.
And I've got a clever way to end this show. How about if we put this episode on ice?
Yeah, okay, everybody. Stay cool, everyone. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. Stay cool.
Till next week.